Hello, I'm Toby Davey from Vocalise, and you join me backstage at Sadler's Wells with Matthew Bourne, choreographer, director and artistic director of New Adventures, as his production of The Red Shoes continues to sell out on tour around the country. Matthew, may I begin by asking you what really inspired you to take this film and take it onto the dance stage?
Well, it's an interesting question because I don't normally like things about dance. Films about dance I find a bit boring and sort of busman's holiday. So it wasn't that necessarily. I thought it was there's something about the era when the story was told. In 1948 the film was made, and the story of people who are very passionate about something, very passionate about creating something beautiful, and how that can affect their lives and the sacrifices they might have to make. And I thought that was a very good story, and if something we as dancers could sort of get our teeth into as well. So it was all those things really, and recreating an era I thought was something challenging and fun to do.
Do you feel that the story of the Red Shoes and the main character, Vicky Page, and sort of the trials and tribulations of her life and dream of being the greatest dancer in the world has effect on, sort of what people think now and what people aspire to be?
I think it was very, it's very current in some ways, because we're all very interested today about what makes a star, you know, what makes someone special, because it's so popular on television. X Factor for many years now, Strictly Come Dancing has made sort of everyone into kind of judges in a way, and critics. People seem to know now, or think they know, what makes a good dancer, what makes a good dancer, what star quality might be. So all those things are very current in our culture, and that's what it's about in some ways. It's about someone with a great ambition who wants to be something and wants to achieve that ambition. And it's what lengths she will go to or to achieve that.
And I know you have a sort of, a bit of a family team with New Adventures. And I wondered sort of how much in the process when you're thinking of an idea for a show and working on that idea and taking it forward, how much do you get involved with the other members of the team, like Les Brotherson, the designer, and Terry Davies, the arranger? How much of an input do they have on your process?
Well, a lot. I mean, I like my family around me, my sort of creative family. I like to do pieces with the same people generally, and that includes the dancers as well. I like to have my people around me. I don't often do commissions for other companies or anything. So Les, as the designer, is the first person that I start working with to create what sort of production it's going to be, what sort of era we're going to set it in, what sort of places we're going to go in it. Very simple questions to begin with. And then how we're going to realise that on stage. And he very much helps me to shape the production. Whereas Terry Davies, who I work with on music, we decided to work with the work of another composer called Bernard Herrmann, who's a great sort of Hollywood Golden Age film composer. And there was a great deal of detective work that needed to happen to find the pieces and to bring it together, and for Terry to sort of orchestrate it to make it sound like a complete score, which I think it does now. But it actually taken from about four different films and several concert pieces and suites that were written later on and things. So it's a bit of a patchwork quilt of music, but hopefully sounds, it sounds like it works for the story and works as a complete score.
And I suppose it's that thing of a different twist. It's using music, which people might know from film, and taking that to the backdrop for dance. Do you feel that your influences from film and contemporary life and everything else around you brings you sort of a new point of view for dance?
I think it does. And I think one of the things that I think has affected the sort of dance that I do, and the fact it relates to maybe a wider audience than a lot of dance does, is I started dance quite late. I didn't start training till I was 22. So prior to that, which is very, very late for dance, you understand, but prior to that I was a big theatre lover, big movie buff. I travelled a bit, I'd done other things. I had other interests. And all those things sort of feed into my work now. I've continued to like those other things. I still go to the theatre and see plays as much as I go and see dance. And all those things go into the work, and I think they connect with people. So cultural things, contemporary things, even if it's an old story we're telling, it's maybe got a contemporary edge to it. I feel very free in my choices of where I can go with a story. Even though you're maybe telling an old story, it's a very creative process to actually reinvent that story and go somewhere different with it.
And I know, for example, you want to see the the show from the audience's point of view, and I know you sit in and watch the whole show. Do you feel being able to share that experience of what the audience is getting gives you a better idea of how well your show is going and how it might be received by people?
Completely. And I don't think many directors do this, you know, Toby. I think many of them sort of linger around at the back, maybe pop in and see this bit or that bit, or disappear altogether once the show is open. And I actually feel I learn a lot about the show by sitting amongst the audience, within the audience, in the middle of the audience, and feeling their reaction and feeling their responses to different aspects of the show. And that makes me really help to understand what's working and what isn't. And particularly with a new show early on, I find it invaluable. And then later on, it's just the way I enjoy watching my own work now, is being there amongst people who are watching it for the first time. It sort of gives me a lot of pleasure to feel their response.
As you may know, a lot of your productions have been audio described for blind and partially sighted people. Have you ever observed and experienced the touch tours that happen before an audio described performance, or listened in to the through live audio description?
I have done it once. I did a few years back with one of our productions, because I was so intrigued as to how it was a production called Play Without Words, which was one of the most difficult things to describe, I would imagine, because it was made up of four or five characters, all played by three or four people at the same time. It was the most complex sort of thing to describe. I thought, how are they going to do this? So I was fascinated to hear that. For me, what it felt like, interestingly, it's kind of the experience that I have when I'm trying to create something, because I'm trying to express the music. And when I'm listening to the music, I'm trying to imagine what that music might be saying. It's almost like my script. I look at it as sometimes even instruments as to being the lines of a particular character, or, you know, sort of, and you're really using that for language. So it's very much like what I do, I think, is to myself, is to try and visualize that music and to feel that music, feel what it's expressing emotionally. Or humour can come into it. You know, sometimes music is quite humorous. It's got a feel to it. And a show like The Red Shoes has a lot of different kinds of music in it that really, hopefully, tell the story we want to tell, any particular mood that we need to express. So I found it fascinating. I haven't been on a touch tour, actually. I imagine that's very interesting as well. How does it work?
For me, the touch tours are a really important part of the whole experience, because when you go to an audio described performance, you get pre-show notes that are recorded, so you get descriptions of the characters, the costumes, you get an idea of the movements that the dancers will be making. But going onto the stage and actually experiencing the space that the dancers are going to be performing in, and actually being able to talk to some of the dancers and see what movements they're doing, and, you know, in some cases you actually feel the movements, really adds to the whole experience. And then when you come to the audio described performance itself, because you've been on the touch tour, you know the space, you know the movements, it adds so much more to that experience when you're listening to the description.
Yes, it's almost like something that most of the other audience never had the chance to do, in a way, is to have that closeness, actually, that closeness to the experience. I imagine it's very special.
It's a real privilege, and it's something that really helps to make the experience much fuller for people. And I suppose, thinking a little bit about access, how important do you feel access is for dance and for your productions, and at what stage do you think access should be thought about? Is it, you know, sort of beginning of the production, or saying, you know, sort of join the run, or when do you think access should be really sort of inputted into the development of a show?
Well, as soon as you speak, I think it's something that could start earlier with a production. You know, it would be nice to follow the making of a production. Certainly rehearsals in our situation, we're very happy to have people attend rehearsals and experience that. And you could, in that sense, follow a production right through. I mean, I'm very interested in exploring how we could do this better and have more access to our productions. It's certainly something we always think about when we're creating a new show or reviving a show. But I think there's more we could do. I think the journey of a production is a fascinating thing. It's almost like following a documentary in some ways, you know, of how this thing comes about. And then your involvement is greater through that access that you've had at a point where most people wouldn't have access to a piece. And we're very happy to do it, actually. It's very easy for us to do.
Because I know some of the describers who are working on The Red Shoes at the moment have been, you know, sort of able to come into rehearsals and have had opportunity to talk to the dancers.
That's
and
right.
And I've had real good support from people in the production, which helped so much for their development.
Yes, they were in an early stage of rehearsals and taking in everything that was being said in the room and what I was saying. And in a funny way, that at that point, it's quite useful for us to have to talk about it because we don't really know what we've got. You know, a new show, you don't really know what you have until you put it in front of an audience and then you start to learn about it yourself a little bit, even though you've made it. But to have at that early stage to have to sort of talk about it and to have to answer questions on something that you were not completely sure about yourself was actually helpful because it makes you think in a different way. It makes you explore thoughts that you may not have had. So I found it very useful.
I know a lot of your productions have been filmed and put onto TV and cinema, and I think Swan Lake was done in 3D.
It was, yes.
Have you ever thought of or been asked to sort of dance, full-on dance movie, and is there a story that you might want to take to sort of a big screen?
It's funny, I have had offers to make movies, because everyone says my work's quite cinematic, you know, to experience, and I think I've learned over the years, through having done a few little movie things here and there, nothing major, but I don't really enjoy it so much. I like an audience. I like the experience of the give and take of an audience, the two-way relationship that you have with an audience. I think it's so important, but it's the thing that I love, and I think it's the thing that I make my work for, is audiences. So if they're not there, I mean, admittedly, there will be an audience eventually watching it, but I can't enjoy it so much. It feels disjointed, and it feels a little bit cold to me. So, yes, I mean, it would be something to try and explore a little bit more, but I'd rather go and watch them, you know. Yes. I sort of sometimes I get offered things these days and I go no, I'd quite like to go and see that, but I don't want to make it myself.
And what's next for you? I hear there might be plans for bringing a revised version of Swan Lake back and possibility of doing something for the new space here at Sadler's Wells. Are you able to tell me a little bit more about what might be happening and whether there will be audio description for these productions?
There certainly will be. I mean, we certainly plan to do that with every revival and a new production that we do. And the next one we do is Cinderella, actually, which is a fantastic show set in the 1940s during the Blitz. It's my version of Cinderella, where, you know, it came out of the idea that a lot of people went missing, you know, during the Blitz, and the idea of the image of the shoe in the rubble, the lost shoe, just really seemed a very strong idea. So that's the next one that we're doing, which is a revival. And then you're right, we are looking at doing a new production of Swan Lake. It won't be so new that people don't recognise it, because it's a bit iconic. Yes. Now, the way the swans are and everything. It will have some sort of new elements in it. Les Brotherston will be designing. Things have moved on in 20 years since we first did it, and he can add new elements to it to make it look a bit slicker and a bit sort of more gorgeous than it already does. But I think musically it will stay the same, and yeah, it works as a piece, so you don't want to mess with it too much.
Matthew, thank you very much indeed for talking with me today. Yeah, it's been wonderful to chat with you today. Thank you.
Thanks, Toby. A pleasure.
To find out more about Audio Described performances and events and Matthew Bourne's The Red Shoes, do visit the Vocalise website at vocalise.co.uk.